Today we're going to continue our series on grace. We've been in this series for the last 6 weeks, and I tell you, there's no better time to have a revelation of how big God's grace is for your life, as if we're going into the Christmas season. What a greater time to really experience how much God really loves you and how big His grace is for your life than when we go through the Christmas season. And today, I love the fact that we're learning on grace. So many of you are growing in your knowledge of God's grace. And it's such an important part of every believer's life. If you don't have a proper and correct understanding, a biblical definition of grace and what it means in our life, you walk around trying to earn your salvation. Matter of fact, Paul said it like this. He says, "Who bewitched you? Who cast a spell upon you?" He goes, "Were you not saved by grace?" Of course, yeah, we're saved by grace. He goes, "Now, since you're saved by grace, why are you now trying to walk out your salvation in works?" And now, do I believe in good works? Yes. Scripture says good works will follow those who believe. And those who, if you're a Christian today, good works should follow you. Good fruit should follow your life. It should be a side effect of who we are. I want to do good things. I want to sow good seed and produce good fruit in my life. But we got to be very clear to realize our salvation and our God's love for us is not based upon our good works. They're based upon His grace for our life. And we got to quit trying to earn it. We believe it as salvation, then we try to earn it the rest of the time. No, we don't have to earn God's love. We shared it last week on being a child of grace. Remember, my children were up here with us 2 weeks ago, and I talked about that very much, about how we're children of grace and how my relationship with our adoption and how we do our relationship with our children and how that happens with us, that He says we are adopted sons and daughters, no longer slaves, but now we're called to be what? We're called sons and daughters. This is the amazing story of Christmas, is that no longer are we slaves. No longer do we have the mentality that I'll come back as the prodigal son did and say I'll come back and work as a slave. But He says, I have adopted you and I as sons and daughters. And so today, as we take this thought a little bit further, I want to talk to you about the thought, God doesn't live in a dirty house. God doesn't live in a dirty house. Now, some of you are thinking, all right, did my mother-in-law call you and give you this message, Pastor Gene? She's always telling me how dirty my house is. And some of you already are feeling conviction. Well, my house is really dirty, you know. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I believe that we need to keep a clean house. I believe that very much, that we should be good stewards of the things God's given us. Okay? If God has placed it in a house, well, I want a bigger house. I want a better house. Well, steward the one you have now. You scrub that house and take care of that house. You vacuum that house like it's a mansion. Okay? God, you've given it to me. I'm going to steward the best way I can. I believe in that very much. But this is not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about what's going on the inside of our physical houses, you know. Sometimes, you know, when you drive by people's houses, you have no idea. Have you ever seen that movie, that show, Hoarders? Anybody ever seen that show, Hoarders? I wanted to show a clip from it, but I was afraid I would get sick, okay, because actually, when I watch that show, many times I get sick because of the filth that some people have going on. Now, I'm here to tell you today, if you suffer from this kind of problem where you are becoming a hoarder and you can't get into your house because of the laundry and trash and things you've collected, if you got to climb over those things to get to where you're trying to go, if you can't sleep on your bed without sleeping on 3 pizza boxes, okay, you got some problems. And you need to get some professional help for those problems. People who are hoarding you, all the time, we see that they actually have something going on the inside, a problem on the inside, and it's manifesting itself through the hoarding of these things, okay? So I'm not trying to make light of someone who has a serious illness that they're going through they need help for, okay? But for many times in our life, you know, people drive by the houses on the outside, they look okay. A lot of times you wouldn't know somebody's a hoarder unless you went to their house, and they'll never invite you to their house, so you're not going to know. And so, For many of us, that's the way we kind of feel on the inside. You know, it's all right for everybody to see us at church, at work, at school, on the outside. But on the inside, we feel like we're so dirty. On the inside, we feel like, you know, I am so unclean. God would never live in my house. God would never be there. And so today I want to read you a scripture in John chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the glory of the begotten of the Father." Now, what's it say about the Father? The Father is full of grace. Let's say it together. The Father is full of, he is full of what? Come on, say it loud. Grace and truth. See, some of us have this misconception in our life that the Father is sitting up there with this big hammer. Every time we mess up, he's ready to, bam, hit us on the head. Some of you are singing that song. God's got a big hammer right above my head, and he's ready to bop us in the head. And that's just not the case. Sometimes you've heard teachers try to use fear to get us to live right and act right. And so they paint this picture of the Father up there waiting to knock us in the head every time we make a mistake. And it translates to us. Let me tell you, fear-based love is not really love, is it? I mean, grace produces true love. And grace, a true revelation of how much grace God has given us, will produce us to live for God like you'd never lived before. I believe that. A true revelation of how much God really loves us and how much grace he has for our life produces in us a desire to please him like we never have before. I want you to notice God is full of grace. Now, scripture is very clear. There'll come a time we'll stand before him as the judge. Okay? But right now, it says that in our life, he is full of grace, waiting to give grace to those who call upon his name, for those who confess him as Lord, for those who say, "God, I'm a sinner. I need you." He says he's full of grace for those people who will call upon him. And so, this is the problem, though. The problem we've been establishing over all this time in the series is God has a high standard. It's called the law. And we've been looking at law versus grace. And even though we understand now that we are under grace, not under law, the law still has its place in our life. And we discovered that. We've been talking about that. But what the law says in Scripture is this, that God's standard is so high, so holy, that we can't keep it on our own. The only way we become in right standing with God is to accept his son, Jesus. And when we accept Jesus, we have been made righteous in right standing with God. But the law shows me that God's standard is perfection. God's standard is perfection, and he cannot live where sin abounds. Let me make it very clear. God will not and cannot and never will live where sin abounds. And so if that's the standard today, it's sometimes hard for us to comprehend grace. So I want to show you, where does God live here on earth? I'm going to show you four primary houses real quickly, okay? I want you to stay with me. I'm going to go through the first three pretty fast, so I want you to stay with me. I got to give you this information to set up the revelation that's going to come in the very end. And I'm telling you, if you're asleep, you're going to miss one of the biggest revelations about grace you've ever heard in your life. So I want you to pay attention and hear and follow me today where we're going. Number one primary house we look at in the four types is the primary house, the original house that God set up. It was called the Garden of Eden. He created Adam and Eve there to live with him in the garden, that God would abide with them in the garden. God would fellowship with them in the garden. He set the garden up as a perfect place. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when they disobeyed God's commands, what was God's response? Look what he says here in Genesis 3:23-24. "Therefore the Lord God sent," talking about Adam and Eve, "sent him out of the Garden of Eden." Why? Why would God send out Adam and Eve out of the garden? Because they had sinned. And God cannot live with sin. He refuses to live with sin. So he sent them out of the garden to till the ground from which it was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed the angels, the cherubims, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. God removed them from the Garden of Eden because of sin, because God cannot and will not live where sin is. Turn to your neighbor and say, God won't live in a dirty house. He refuses to live in a dirty house. So we see the second house that he set up. In the Old Testament, he gave Moses the instructions of setting up the temple. And we call this the primary house. I mean, the pattern house, the temple. And in the pattern house, we see where we had an outer court, an inner court, and the holies of holies. When you came into the outer court, you had to sacrifice your lamb. You took the lamb and you would sacrifice it. And then you would walk over to the basin and you would take the water and you would cleanse yourself before you ever entered into the tabernacle. And then you would walk into the inner court, the tabernacle, and you would begin to worship there in the tabernacle. And there was a big veil that was there that separated you from the presence of God. And God was in the Ark of the Covenant, was behind the veil. Remember that? And his presence abode there. But no one was allowed with sin to enter beyond the veil. Why? Because God refuses to be present where sin is at. He lets you make a sacrifice to make atonement so that you could walk in and give worship. But no one but the high priest who had no sin were allowed behind the veil. Scripture says they put bells along the bottom of the robe and they would tie a rope onto their ankles. So when the high priest would go into the holies of holies, if they had any uncleanness about them, any sin in their life at all, boom, they would fall over dead. And when the bells quit ringing, we had no volunteers to want to go in and pull them out. And so they would have to pull them out by the rope because they knew that that person was unclean and they had died in God's presence. Why? Because God refuses to live in a dirty house. God refuses to live where sin is abounds. And so God set up this temple as a pattern of what was a foreshadowing of the come. Of course, they sacrificed the lambs there. And of course, we know he sent his son Jesus, who was called the Lamb of God. He became the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his blood that we could no longer have to make atonement, but we could walk into right standing through the forgiveness that happens when we accept what Jesus did on the cross. The Lamb of God was slain for us. And we go now, no longer do we have to wash ourselves, but now we wash through the waters of baptism. And now we can enter into the holies of holies. The veil's been ripped. And we see now where the presence of God is here for us to enter into. But this is a problem. This pattern house has some problems. Matter of fact, Jesus made it very clear. We see in the scripture that he set it up as a pattern house for his presence. But look what he says. In Matthew 21:13, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. He didn't say, my house is where I dwell any longer. He said, but you guys have made it because you've allowed sin to come in. You made it a den of thieves. So you remember him getting mad and overthrowing the money changers. And I believe one of the things, some people try to say, well, because they were trying to, you know, sell their sacrifices and make money, God was mad. And I believe it goes much deeper than that. See, what was happening here was God was asking them to bring their best, to prepare their best, to grow their best, to raise up their best animals, and to bring the first fruits of those offerings and to sacrifice them. And these people, instead of bringing their best, they were showing up and trying to buy a sacrifice and walk into the temple with it. And God was like, you know, you're missing it. He goes, you've made it about convenience. You've made it about, you know, selling the sacrifices. He goes, I'm not there no longer. You're showing up. You think I'm there, but I'm not. Instead, it's called a den of thieves. And he proves it in Matthew 23:38. He goes, see, your house, no longer his house, your house, talking about the temple, is left to you desolate. I have removed my presence. I have removed myself from this house. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's saying this temple you set up, it's desolate. I don't live there any longer. So we see the primary house, Adam, sins. Adam and Eve sin. They're banished from God's presence. We see the pattern house, the temple. God's presence is set up there. But because sin comes and rules, God removes his presence now from the temple. And he says, it's desolate. I'm no longer there. So let's see the perfect house. Who was the perfect house? His son Jesus. Jesus was the only one who lived a perfect life. He was the only one who knew no sin in his life. And everywhere we see in scripture, it says that when God, remember when he was baptized, the heavens opened up. He said, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus said, "I don't do anything. I don't say anything. All these miracles I do, they come from the Father. Everything I give you comes from the Father." Why? Because the Father was abiding with him. He goes, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." The Father was living with Jesus here on earth. Jesus was carrying his presence. Jesus was giving the revelation. Jesus was healing, doing miracles. And we see the Father was with Jesus all through. It was the perfect house. Why? Because he knew no sin. The only one problem we have is this. The scripture says that he gave himself for us on the cross. Look at the scripture right here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he made him who knew no sin." To what? Talking about Jesus. "To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So the perfect house who knew no sin, when he stretched out his hands on the cross, scripture says that he took the sins of the world. He took my sin. He took your sin. He took every sin that had ever been committed in the history of time. And he says he took them upon the cross and he carried them to the cross voluntarily. So the perfect house who housed the presence of God, who God walked with, who God was with, when he carried the sins of the world on the cross, what happened? What was Jesus' last words? "My Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" We see where the earth turned black and we believe that God had to turn his face, not because he couldn't bear to see his son suffer, because God couldn't be present where sin was. And this really blows my mind, because you and I, we have grace in our life for our children, don't we? And I think about this and I think, you know, I try to be a person who gives grace to a lot of people, but some people just push your buttons. And I don't always give grace the way I should. Neither do you. Don't act like you do. But there's one set of small people that no matter how mad I get, how frustrated I get, that I seem to show grace to all the time. And there's five of them. All five of my kids. There's something about our children that we, even though we're mad, we end up giving grace to that we wouldn't give to anybody else. Nobody else. We'd be like, "Tough luck, you know, tough it out. You made this boat for yourself." But with our children, we have a tendency to give them grace probably more than we should, right? That's a parent's heart. That's a grandparent's heart. It's just we had that heart for our children. So if anywhere in the history of time that God would allow himself to bear sin and be around sin, it would have been right here. When his son carried his sin, this would have been the one time that we could have seen that God could have maybe been in the presence of sin. But even at this point, God refused to be present where sin was. He said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" See, God refuses to live in a dirty house. The law shows us the standard of perfection. But how many are ready for the good news? Are you ready for the good news now? Because some of you are thinking, "Man, if he leaves Jesus, I have no chance." You're right. You have no chance on your own. I have no chance on our own. But this is the great news about grace and the gospel. Because look at the fourth primary house. This is where God lives today. The permanent house. It's me and it's you. Christ lives in us. He lives in you. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you say, "I confess you as Lord of my life, and I'm living my life for you." Scripture says this. Let's look at what Scripture says now. I'm going to back it up with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that your body," everybody say "my body," "is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Look at this next scripture here. In John 14, 16, and I will pray to the Father. This is Jesus talking. And he will give you another helper, that he may what? Abide with you sometimes. Right? No. He may abide with you on your good days. No. He says he may abide with you forever. So God doesn't live in a dirty house. God refuses to live in a dirty house. So what's the conclusion today? The conclusion is this. I'm not dirty. And you're not dirty. You may have had a dirty thought. You may have said a dirty word. But you're not dirty. Because what Jesus did on the cross that you and I walk into, he's cleansed us and made us holy before the Lord. I'm not dirty. You're not dirty. God has made us holy. If you have believed in him and you have confessed him, you are not dirty. It says he will abide with us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't abide in an unclean house. He only abides what's been made clean. And he has made us clean. You may have done something dirty in your life, but you're not dirty. You may have done something in your past that is shameful, but he has made you clean. I'm going to rock your world a little bit here. Let me tell you this. Jesus didn't come just to take us to heaven. Jesus didn't come just to take us to heaven. Now, as believers, we know that heaven is an inheritance of ours. And hallelujah. Thank the Lord that heaven is our inheritance. Man, it's going to be a place of no more weeping, no more sorrow. With joy is going to come. And man, we're going to be reunited with those who've gone before. It's a great inheritance we have. It's the hope that we have, that we look forward to. But Jesus didn't come to take us to heaven. Jesus came to bring God to us. Jesus came to cleanse our house so that God could come and abide with us. He had to make an atonement. He had to bring a play of cleansing our house, of cleansing us, that God could abide with us forever. Are you catching the revelation today? That you're not clean. Your mind's been saying that. I'm not clean. I'm not worthy. Nah. I did this in my past. I've done this in my past. I've done this in my past, Pastor. And I don't even want to invite in God in because, man, I'm just too dirty. I hope today that you realize that you have been made clean because God doesn't live in dirty house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit who's living in you. He has made you clean. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Some of you here today, you're hearing this message saying, Pastor, man, I've been trying to clean my own house for a long time. I know I need to come to God, and I know I need to give my heart to God. But I've been trying to clean my own house first. I've been trying to get it ready so I could come to God and have something to present him. But as you're talking today, I realized that I can't do it on my own. And you're right, you can't. You can't make your house clean enough on your own. You'll never make it clean enough on your own. I will. Won't, and you won't as well. But today you say, I realize now I've got to ask Jesus into my life that he can make it clean. He's the only one that can clean my life. He's the only one that can make me in a place where God will come and abide with me. I've never asked Jesus into my life before. And nobody's looking around but me, and we're not going to do anything to embarrass you. But I want to give you a chance to respond, though. If that's you today, say, I want to accept Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Several hands going up. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me. Doesn't make a difference if it's your first time here or you've been coming for 2 years. It's all right. If you've never accepted Jesus, today's your day. If you haven't raised your hand, one more time, I'm going to ask you, if today's your day and you're ready, raise it right now. I want to say, I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Several hands going up, guys. We had several hands in the first service as well today. This is a great day. We're going to say this prayer. Those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud. repeat after me. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you and help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess I am a sinner. And I need your grace in my life. I surrender all of my life to you today. I confess you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today and you meant it from your heart, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah. Awesome. Come on, give me a hand. This is a big thing. This is why we're here today. Now listen to me. If you raised your hand and you prayed that prayer, this is just the beginning. Okay? There's some other things you need to do next on your journey. If you don't have a home church, you need to be plugged in here. We love to have you plugged in. If you have a home church, go to your pastor or one of your leaders and say, hey, man, I gave my heart to God this week. What do I need to do next? Let them encourage you, because you can't do it alone. You got to get connected to a local church body who can encourage you and teach you the teachings of Jesus Christ and how to live out this walk. And so I encourage you, get involved. We'll tell you more about taking your next steps as you get involved. And come more often, okay? Don't just come on Christmas. Be here next week, the week after. We'd love to have you. How many today, say, Pastor, as you stand up, go ahead and stand on your feet. I realize today that, man, my house is clean. I've been feeling like it's been dirty for a long time. But today, this revelation is setting me free. Anybody here, this was revelation for you? Raise your hand if it was. Man, yeah. So many people saying, this is revelation for me. I feel like my house was so dirty. I feel like because of things I've done in my past, my house was so dirty. And today, God showed me how clean He's making my house. How clean He's made my house. I tell you what, this has set you free this Christmas to worship the Lord like you never have before. To honor Him like you never have before. To pursue Him like you never have before. That you can go after Him knowing that He's made us clean. Today we're going to sing this song that says, your blood washes us clean. Remember, His blood washes our house, makes us clean as snow. Come on, Joe. I want to pray for you today. So if you're comfortable doing this, I want to invite you just to raise your hands up as a sign of surrender to God. Father, as we lift our hands to you, I want to pray for every person in this room. God, I thank you that you have come to cleanse our house. You've cleaned our house, God. And so I come against every spirit of discouragement, of guilt that Satan tries to put on us to make us feel unclean, when you have scrubbed us and made us white as snow. And nothing the devil can do can destroy that. Nothing Satan can plant in our mind can destroy that. God, I thank you that you have made us the vessel, the temple of the Holy Spirit, where now the veil has been ripped and now your presence lives in each one of us here today who call upon you as Lord. Your presence draws near to us and abides with us. And God, I thank you that our house is not dirty. And I thank you that you have made us white as snow. The scripture says you cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. And God, you have made us white as snow today. We love you and we thank you, God, that you are giving us this fresh revelation of your grace during this Christmas season. And we walk in your love and your grace like never before. I pray right now that you begin to remove guilt. Remove that guilt that has been weighing us down like a big ball, a chain wrapped around our leg. That God, you are unleashing those chains of guilt in Jesus' name. And you're setting us free to pursue you in a new relationship, to pursue you clean and holy. God, I thank you today for what you're doing through the revelation of your grace. And we say amen and amen. Put your hands together and say, I agree with that word spoken over my life today. Amen. Now listen, as you leave today, don't forget, you're going to get tickets to pass out for next week's service. Those of you who are in the life groups, you know you got the life group Christmas party tonight. We'll see you guys. Have a great week. Thank you for being here.